The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the ParaX Radio Networks. My name is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are happy to be back with you here on another Tuesday evening on the Gathering Radio Show.
And it's the full moon. I mean, it's still pretty full. I mean,
it is.
Maybe a little less tonight.
We're a little past it, but it was awesome.
Yeah, and it's the Sturgeon Moon. And, you know, I was looking up the Sturgeon Moon, and sturgeons are really cool creatures. Do you know what? They live to be 150 years old. Can you even believe it?
They can. Yeah, they can be old.
Oh, yeah. And it says that females don't start producing until they're 20 years old. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, they just have a fish. And there's a picture of them here. And boy, are they ever prehistoric looking. I've never seen one in real life, I guess. You know, I keep hearing about them. But they are pretty prehistoric looking.
You know, do you remember... I don't know how many years ago this was. It was probably 20 years ago now where that sturgeon washed up on, what was it? It was Lake Harriet or something like that down in the cities. It was washed up on the shore. I think it died of old age, and they said it was like 10 feet long and it was 80 years old or something like that. Like, don't quote me on the exact numbers, but I remember being sufficiently shocked. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is why I don't swim in lakes. Because you can't see most of the lakes around here. Hate to say, you can't see more than a couple feet down, if you can even see that far down. That's why I don't swim in them. Because you don't know what could be sliding around in there. No, thank you. No, thank you very much. And I used to swim like crazy when I was a kid. And then I started hearing about that kind of stuff. No, thank you very much.
I love swimming in lakes. It doesn't bother me at all. But, you know, sunfish even bite. You know, I mean, several times I've been swimming with my brother, for example, and he's been bit right on his nipple. Like, when my niece was just a little one, she was, we had her over at, I think we were at the lake, and he was holding her or whatever. And all of a sudden, he pulls her up out of the water, and he said, oh my God. And there's this fish, it was a sunfish, grasped onto his nipple, and he was biting, you know. It was like, oh my God. And then years later, fast forward to when Casey was little, we were out at Turtle Lake, same thing happened again. What are the chances, you know?
Yuck.
Craziness. I have been bit, but
I have too. I think anybody that's swam in a lake for any amount of time has probably been bit by something, and I don't like it, so I don't swim in them.
No. I won't go swimming like in the evening because they swim around your legs. Even if they don't bite you, you can feel them swimming around your legs.
Exactly. And if I can't see what's going on down there, if I can see what's going on, I'm okay. But if I can't see what's going on in those lakes, no, nope.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to go water skiing and, you know, tubing behind a boat, you know, whatever. Not anymore. Nope.
I love it. I think it's great. I mean, you know, you just deal with it. It's Minnesota.
Karen's on my side. Chat room. She said, I'm with you. Thank you. I've got one.
I'm cool. It's all good. I mean, it's very rare that you get bit, and it's very rare that, you know, I mean, like I said, if you just don't be in the water when it's getting dark at night, because that's when they are all over and they swim in between your legs and all kinds of stuff. But otherwise, you know, it's cool.
I have to say, though, Steph, and I'll not stop bringing this up. You keep talking about you'd go in the boat up in the northern, you know, in Canada or wherever that is, and swim and hope to get pulled down by a mermaid. You will. I mean, so I don't put anything past you when it comes to water.
Yeah, I'm a little fish, really. Maybe I'm a mermaid at heart, too. I don't know. But, yeah, no, I'm not afraid. And I know we used to always say...
I'm not afraid. I can grossed out and heebie-jeebies. Yeah, no way.
Either. I know when I know we used to say when Casey was little and there used to be, we used to go out at, we were out on the islands and we used to go on the, on Tom's boat. And I used to always say, when we were with the whales, I said, oh my God, I'm going to jump in with them, you know? And Tom was like, Steph, you can't do that because then I would have to come in after you and the water, because the water is like 40 degrees and you would just die, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, but how fun would that be? I was ready to do it. Steph walks in the woods on flip-flops too. I do. I do. Ridiculous. Although I've learned, Karen, you know, I wear my hiking boots now. But yes, I do occasionally. And I get stuck in quicksand. Yes, I do. You know, I'm just, I'm the problem child. Good thing we have Rambo on the team, you know, because our little Ramboette, because she gets me out of everything. But
I shake my head.
I know.
My hand in my head. I can't. Yeah. Flip flops in the woods. No.
Mm-hmm. I've done it.
I know you have. Well aware you have. I would not do that.
No. But like I said, I have learned. Now I'm a good girl and I wear my hiking boots and, you know, it's whatever. Things have changed. So,
although I'm not much of a woods in the summer kind of girl either. You know that. I'll go squatching in the late fall, winter, early spring, and then I'm out. Like, nope, not doing it. Not
well,
doing
now
it.
Now that we're going to be out this weekend, and we've been out of the woods since what, like the end of June. We took July off because that's the buggiest month of all. So hopefully we'll be cool this weekend, and then, you know, usually by the end of August, like when we're going up north in a couple of weeks, it's usually calmed down quite a lot. So I think we'll be fine. Sherry's saying she'll go in heels and a skirt. Oh, my. Well, that would be interesting. Maybe Bigfoot would really like that.
Maybe you never know. I don't know if anybody's tried it. Maybe nobody's tried it.
Maybe I should try that next time. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. You tip over in your regular shoes, Steph.
Well, that's true. Oh, see, Karen's saying that the deer and the horseflies have already subsided. Yeah, I figured. And, you know, the deer, the ticks pretty much are gone, too, by the end of August for sure. So we are all good. So tonight, Heidi, is our paranormal smorgasbord.
It is. And I'm excited to see what our chat room folks have brought to the table for topics. I'll start. Not that it's necessarily a topic, just kind of an interesting thing that I plan on doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you saw, I put a post out later today that I had been gardening and weeding. I'm weeding, basically. I'm not gardening anything yet because I'm trying to clear out this huge garden. I mean, the gardens that I have set up here are bigger than if you added, if you took my lot that was in the city and put it all together. My whole yard isn't as big as these gardens that I'm having to, like, weed and mulch and everything. So I'm pulling a lot of stuff out because I think it got overgrown. You know, before they sold the house, I don't think it had been tended for a few years at least. And so it's a huge project. And there was this piece of metal that was sticking out. It looked like a pipe or something. And I'm like, I was trying to pull the weeds out around it so I could kind of dig it out, and I couldn't get in there. And I was like, whatever, I'll wait for Tim. So I showed Tim this pipe thing sticking out of the ground. And I said, can you help me get that out of there? Because it's right on the edge of the garden. And I want to get this thing out. And so he starts digging. He's like, oh my gosh, there's another ring around it that's like really big. And so we got the shovel instead of the little whatever thing I was using. And he starts digging. And we ended up pulling out a wheel.
A wheel?
Like a metal frame from a wheel. And we couldn't tell what it was from, but we thought, oh my gosh, what if it's from an old buggy or a car or something? It looked like something that was old like that. And so I ended up putting it on Facebook just to say, hey, is anybody recognize this? And one of my friend's husbands, he's really into like old, like farm equipment, farm implements, things like that. And he thought it was from some either old cart or some kind of hay mower or something, like not like old fashioned, right? Doesn't have electric or anything. And so, or not gas powered or anything like that. So I looked up pictures of it and I think it might be from an old cart with the wood around the wheels.
Oh, sure.
And, but you know, instead of rubber. And so we pulled it out and propped it up. It's about a foot and a half wide or you know, in diameter.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, this would be kind of cool to get the ghost hunting equipment out. Now it's outside and it's far away from the house.
Yeah.
For anybody that's listening knows I do not investigate inside my own house.
I was going to say,
And I frankly don't even investigate close to my house, but this is far enough away that we will, you know, just see if there's any energy, not necessarily sit and have a conversation to see if anybody's there, but I just want to see if there's any energy attached to it because it is metal.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be kind of interesting. And then I thought, you know, actually, one of Tim's friends commented and said, you guys should get a metal detector because maybe there's more stuff there. And when we first moved in, the guy across the street, I think it was the guy across the street, said that there was originally on where our the house is now, there was an old farmhouse, much smaller, and a little barn right where the house is now. So I wonder if there's more artifacts. And then, yeah, would there be any energy attached to them? So that is, you know, kind of a new little project that we'll see what happens.
Do you think there's more, like if you dug more, do you think maybe there's a whole vehicle there, whatever this wheel was for?
It could be. I mean, it's possible. So that's why I think getting a metal detector and maybe, I don't know. I mentioned metal detector and he didn't say anything. So maybe he doesn't have one, but getting one or finding one, maybe buying one online, you know, used, but it, just to see what kind of energy might still be connected, because, you know, metal can hold, well, anything can hold energy, anything, you know, anything could be attached to anything. So I just thought, oh, that might be kind of neat to see if there's anything else out here, but even just that wheel to see if there's any kind of energy attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. And funny you should bring that up about investigating our own homes, because I saw an article online when I was looking for things for a paranormal smorgasbord today about should paranormal investigators, you know, investigate their own homes, you know, because they're saying things like, well, maybe I brought this home, whatever, with me. No. I mean, I think that's one of the golden rules of paranormal investigators is we don't investigate our own home. If we think there's something going on, we ask someone else to do it, right?
Right.
You know, because, you know, it just doesn't work.
I think we get too connected to our houses. We get too emotional about things. And so it's not a good idea to investigate your own house just for so many different reasons, where if you have someone come in, they have a fresh perspective.
Yes.
They don't have any emotional connections. They're looking at it from, you know, strictly, you know, outsider point of view. They don't have any history necessarily, or they may not have any history of the house. So they really can just look at it as like, here's what I see. Here's what, you know, that we can prove is happening or not happening.
Yes.
You're not involved in it like you would be if it was your own home.
No. We never would do that. That's just a no. So when you said that, I'm like, Heidi, we don't do that.
No, and I know, and I'd be the first person to say we don't investigate in our own house.
Yeah.
I just want to take my millimeter out there. Yeah, I want to take my millimeter out there and just see if there's any energy, and that's it. And then, and then just see if we can find anything else, because that might be kind of neat to see what kind of stuff is out here.
Well, and here's the other thing is, you know, like people are saying in the chat room, you know, back in the day, they would just dig a hole and throw trash in it, right? So. Right. I mean, you might find all kinds of cool stuff out there, actually. You know, might be worth some digging. You know,
that would be cool.
And if you found any doll, you might find some dolls. You know,
I would love that. I would love that.
You just never know.
I would love if there were some dolls. You know, one of my friends, Lori, she sometimes listens, but I don't think she's in the chat room. She gave me a doll head that she put outside when she was a kid, and then she found it. I don't know how many decades later as an adult, and thought of me first because she knows I love creepy dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And all it was a head. It was just the head, and it had been partially like destroyed. So there was big holes in it that from time and wear, I mean, it's been out there for decades and it was dirty. The hair had all been eaten off. I'm guessing, I don't know if it's eaten or how it was, or dissolved off, but it was like just the little nubs on the end where it had been stitched into the head. And hardly any of that was left. Most of it was gone. And then there was dirt in the little holes and stuff. And one of her eyes is gone. And anyway, it's perfect. And she actually gave it to me, and she had it in a bag and a plastic, I don't know, grocery store bag or something. She gave it to me And I pulled it out and it was still dirt inside of it and all these spiders came out of it. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, okay, I didn't ask for dirt or spiders.
Yeah.
I'm right. You could have just dumped it out. Like all these spiders came out. It was disgusting. Yeah. And I get the spider thing. That's fine. But I still don't need them like running across my hand as I pick up this thing. Anyway, I didn't really clean it up. I just knocked all the stuff out of it. And then I put a tea light, one of those electric tea lights in there. Those little battery operated ones. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's perfect. Good. Yeah, it works great.
Like those. Super everybody's laughing at me on the chat line because they're saying, you know, maybe you can find a clown doll and gift it to Steffi. Last week on the calling, they were talking about dolls because their new co-host had this voodoo doll that she found in this space that she was going to rent. She lives in New Orleans. And this doll is the creepiest looking ishy thing. Oh my God, I actually clicked on it and I don't know why I did that. And I hurried up and clicked off and deleted the page because I didn't want anything to do with that. And we were all chatting in the chat room, of course. And I just, you know, I'm like dying a thousand deaths because I'm like, ish. But yeah, so, you know, it's so craziness, but yeah, I'm not a doll person. You know me. Every time you have your open house, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going in that doll room. That's for sure. I do though. I do pop in there.
You do go in. You do. Conquer your fears.
I'm brave and I go in there and then I hurry up and walk out. But yeah. Yeah. Karen would like a show on voodoo. Yes, that would be really fun.
Oh, we should do one. Yeah.
Yeah, or powwowing. Yeah, I think.
We should do that too.
We should find.
I have a book on powwowing.
Well, yeah, you know, they did one on powwowing on the calling a few months ago, and it's a different thing. You know, it's like a very different thing. I think voodoo would be really fun. I think voodoo, you know, it'd be fun to find somebody in New Orleans to do the be our guest or something. You know, because that's a very interesting thing, but. Yeah, for sure. Sherry says she hugged a spider the other day. He was so cute.
No. Yeah. No, I say no to hugging spiders. I'm allergic to them, though, so that's why I would stay away from them. Kat back in the... I'm scrolling through comments because they keep flying in now, which is typical, especially for our Paranormal Smorgasbord show. We got a lot of comments and talking going on, which is awesome, but I don't want to miss anything. She says, I'd rather investigate my own place rather than have a bunch of people in with weird beliefs. Well, that's totally your prerogative. Or could you find a group that has the same kind of beliefs you do so you get, again, some outsider perspective instead of just some random group? I don't know that I'd want a random group either.
No.
I'd pick people that I trusted.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
But, your call, Kat. That's totally your call. I'm just thinking of possibilities here.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I agree. Kat's saying she does capture and release for spiders, but I'm not hugging them for their own safety. You know, I never kill spiders either. If I find one and they're, you know, making, you know, it needs to go, I just put it outside. Or, you know what I mean? But I won't kill them either.
Because I don't know how you'd hug one. Cool.
I don't either. It must be a big one.
Well then, it'd probably have to be a big one.
Maybe they grow big out there.
I don't know.
So Jerry sent me this topic for us to talk about tonight, and I can't remember. He told me the story and how he got into it, and I just can't remember. He came over here. I asked him to come over and help me get rid of these weeds. Oh, my God, they grow like... And I'm so allergic to him, I can't handle it. And so is Casey, so I made him come over. I didn't make him. I asked him if he would help
me. I was going to say.
And he came over and cut down these things. They're actually called, believe this or not, Tree of Heaven. They're fast-growing, obnoxious. They stink. If you get near them, if you're allergic to them, it's awful. Because I got home from vacation, And I'm wondering why I'm waking up in the night, and I don't leave that window open at night, but a lot of times I have it open during the day, right, on that side of the house. And I was waking up, and my skin was, like, itchy, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I happened to look out the window one day, and here are these trees that had grown from nothing all the way up to the top of my house. And then they're weeds. They're on the DNR's noxious weed list to get rid of, banish, burn, whatever you need to do. Anyway, so total off the subject here, but he came over and he was telling me this as I was cutting these things up and whatever. So here it is. So when it comes to residual energy, he feels that no matter where you spend your time, you leave your imprint. If you have spent time someplace, there is always some energy left behind. Not talking about a residual haunting, although sometimes it can turn into one, but as you spend time somewhere, your body is giving off energy. Where does that energy go? Is it absorbed by the surroundings when you leave, or do you think the energy just kind of hangs out? Now, I think he's talking about somewhere where you spend a lot of time. Like, you know, for example, maybe even the island. Casey and I are always in our specific little place on that west side. So I'm pretty sure that our energy is there probably forever, imprinted there, you know? But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question topic. I think just from all of the investigations and clearings and things that I've done in people's houses where we've been called in because there's something going on, it depends. If the person is alive, then it's an interesting thing because there's so many different ways to go with this. Because you look at residual haunting, obviously that person isn't there continuing to create that energy or to do whatever it is that is creating the residual marker or the residual recording. But when you're alive, it's like I'm looking at my spirit guides right now, and they're saying that when you're alive, you do leave your energy everywhere, but it dissipates because of your human essence. They're saying something about your human essence is still... Since you still have this human essence, I guess, is what they're saying, that your energy can dissipate over time when you're really not in a place a lot. Like, in your home, it's going to be different because if you're always there, you have your routines, whatever, you keep adding to that energy every day, every hour, every whatever. Absolutely. And it really it starts creating this, they're saying timeline. A timeline is what they're saying. I don't know how this is going to interpret, but anyway, they said as you're living as a human, your energy, your essence fades different places. So if you go someplace once, your energy is going to fade. You're still going to have some kind of marker there, but it's not going to necessarily be very strong.
Right.
Unless something really tragic happened while you were there and it kind of, you know, had this, you know, burst of energy that came about.
Well, like, you know, like Duncan's energy is still here for sure, as is Bobo's and Sadie and Abby's and everyone who's lived here, you know, that of our family, you know, because I can still feel them all. But and that makes sense if it's your home. But, you know, like if it's places that you frequent, you know, like I said, the island, for example, I really do feel like, you know, Casey's and mine energy is a lot there on that west side because we spend a lot of time there. You know, when we're excited, there's a lot of energy spent there. You know, we're excited, we're relaxing, we're trying to, you know, I always say I go to the island to recollect myself because it's been scattered everywhere and then it comes back to me there, which is really interesting, actually. You know what I mean? But it's true. It happens. It's the magic of San Juan Island. But, so yeah, it's kind of an interesting topic, subject, you know?
Yeah, you know, well, and just going back to the topic from before, you really need to figure out how you can move there then. If that's how you feel going there, then seriously.
Actually, we're going back in October for...
Well, good.
Start looking for a job. Actually, Casey says she's going there next summer to work for sure. And she'll be the front runner, you know, and she'll figure it out. We'll see. But who knows? You know, like I said, it would be tough to I mean, all my family is here, you know, and we're tight. We're really tight. So, and it's not like you can afford, you know, at a normal airfare is pretty expensive right now. They're super cheap because nobody's flying, which is why we get to go out there twice. But, you know, in a normal time, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not like you can afford to just jump on a plane every other month or something to go home and see everybody, you know? So, you know, I'm happy with just going out there a few times a year, you know? But anyway, because we're just so connected. We've been going there for 24 years. Let's just think about this. 24 years. So, but we're going to be there in October. So I'm already getting some contacts so I can go up to the mausoleum because, you know, the veil's thin then. So I'm really going to find out about those ghosts that fly around, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'll be really fun. Yeah. So
Kat's saying, I guess my emotional energy might be in some places I've lived. I've had some good and some bad times along the way. Right. You know, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It depends on like what was happening when you were in these locations, because some of these energies that are generated by activities or events that are happening to us or we're participating in or doing or creating can leave a different energetic marker in the location that we're at. So I would imagine that, you know, it's going to be different for every, you know, every situation is going to be a little different, but if it's just a normal day or you're visiting once in a while or whatever, your energy is going to dissipate at some point and just become part of all the energies that come through there from everything else that happens there, you know, after you're gone. So it becomes almost like a new energy, you know, with all these energies, kind of collecting together. And I don't know, but it's a good, it's kind of a cool thing to think about, really.
It is.
It makes you, you know what it makes you aware of, if you want to go this direction with it anyway, it makes you aware of how your imprint can affect people that come after you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think of what you're doing there, is it contributing? Is it hurting? Is it neutral? You know, is it, what is it? So when you're someplace and you're doing something maybe that's hurtful, thinking of that energy leaving, you know, you're leaving some of that energy there when you're gone.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something hurtful, that energy will be there for the next person that comes along. Mm-hmm. And now do they feel that energy? Are they affected by that energy? I would imagine to some degree anyway, maybe not consciously aware of it, but so you have to think about, and I don't want to make this like the super burden that everywhere you go, you have to be perfect and happy and whatever, because that's not realistic either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to do something hurtful, you might want to think about that, you know, intentionally hurtful, because that will last, you know, that imprint could last and affect someone else down the road.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you're, even if you're not sensitive to energy like us, because there's a lot of times you'll walk in, you know, somewhere and say, oh gosh, something bad happened here or something, there's bad energy. But a lot of times people who aren't sensitive to different energies can also feel that, you know, it's like, wow, there's such a weird feeling here. That's what they say. It's such a weird feeling here. You know what I mean? So, So yeah, great thing. Interesting for sure.
Sherry said, no, Kat, I'm reading a name and looking at someone else's post. Kat said, I think a lot of what we think of as residual haunts might be high levels of emotional energy from events, good or bad.
Yeah, I agree.
And it can be. I know that that's for sure. Yes. But I also, I have a specific example that is not from a high level of emotion, good or bad. So here's, and I've probably told this story, so bear with me. When I was in college, I was living with my grandparents, and my grandfather passed away one night at some point when I was living there. And when I would come home from work after that, I would hear the same noise. Okay, he would get up and go to the bathroom probably twice a night, right? He died when he was 86, I believe. And he got up every night, twice a night, for I don't know how many decades to go to the bathroom, right? No big deal. No emotion there. Unless he was irritated because he had to get up, maybe. But he didn't seem like it. And it was the thing that happened twice a night for as long as I can remember. And so after he passed away, you could hear the shuffling on the carpet every night.
Yeah.
And it was like clockwork. He'd get up around midnight and then he'd get up at some point, you know, probably around 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you could hear the shuffling on the carpet as long as I lived there. After he passed away, you could hear the shuffling on the carpet same time every night.
Yeah.
Now I can imagine, even if there wasn't carpet there, because whoever bought the house afterwards, I'm sure, you know, probably took the carpet out or did whatever. And I could imagine you can still hear the shuffling on the carpet. Not knowing what that would scare the heck out of you. I'm hearing it going, oh, that's grandpa, except I know it's, you know, just residual energy because it's not him, but it's the residual energy. But you can still, I'm sure it probably scared the heck out of whoever lived there at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing what it came from, but it was not any kind of emotion. It was just, it happened for so long, like clockwork. It was probably the only thing, I bet it's the only thing that he ever did at the same time every day.
Yeah.
Every day for decades.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because how
can
you, you know, you might have breakfast around the same time every day, but I know that that didn't always happen, mm-hmm. you know, because I lived with them. So I know that, you know, just because they were older doesn't mean that they didn't have stuff going on and people would pop over and whatever, you know, and other people's schedules affect your schedule, but that nothing else is going on. You're sleeping, you go to the bathroom at the same time every night. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that was, I will say that that was not necessarily an emotional thing, but it definitely left yes. an imprint. I don't know how yes. long it lasted because I wasn't living there for much longer, maybe 6 months after that or a year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so kind of interesting to think about because yeah. it was just a regular,
oh, for sure,
everyday kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we need to go to commercial break, and then we have some other things going on in the chat room here. But so everyone stay tuned. This is The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Here you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something.
Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
I'm sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. In your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay. I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! Ah! How are you?
Things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network, and we are doing our paranormal smorgasbord tonight, and we have already had quite a few topics so that we almost went zipping right past our commercial break. So we're going to get back to it because we've got to scroll back through the chat room and get a few of these comments going or questions because there's some good stuff in here.
Let's see here.
Scroll.
First, Sherry is asking how the Eagles are at the Eagles camp. Well, you know, one of the babies passed away. She flew into a, or he, I'm not sure what sex it was, but flew into the power lines and died. The other one is fine. They see her every once in a while, but of course they're gone from the nest. I think they see both the parents and the babies occasionally on the cam. But as far as I know, the other one's doing great. So let's everybody, you know, prayers out for that one and cross your fingers. So, back to the paranormal.
Here we go. Scrolling. So, Kat had commented in the chat room and said, general question for everyone. Do you think if you've sent out negative energy, that once you've resolved the issue and gotten happier, that happiness might balance out or replace the negative? Well, I think for you, it might, you know, the person who is involved in it, it might help, but that energy is still there, you know, it's still out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could dissipate, but, you know, it's just like little particles will still be around, like particles. It's not particles, right. But, you know, I would imagine that that energy to some degree would still be out there.
Well,
not necessarily for you, but for someone else.
Well, and unless you've cleansed it, you know, like we'll go as paranormal investigators, we go in and say, oh boy, this house needs a good cleansing. It may not be paranormal. It may just be bad energy hanging out, you know? But not everybody does that, right? So yeah, they
well,
could
but
be,
that's not always
be there
possible
forever.
Either.
Yes.
You know, because if you think about, let's use this example, you're out driving around and someone cuts you off and you go nuts on them, not necessarily physically, but energetically or even yelling in your car. You start yelling all sorts of things at that person and you are definitely directing it at that person, right? You know, not saying that that's right or wrong. Right. Some people do it, some people don't, but you have created a wave of bad energy heading right for that person. And maybe that person sent you a wave of energy by, you know, intentionally cutting you off. You know, maybe they had no idea they did it. Maybe they don't, they just drive like that. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So you can't necessarily cleanse that. I mean, you could send it to them if you felt bad or you realize that you shouldn't have done that. You could send it. But I don't think a lot of people think that that is something that is effective, you know, that that would actually reach someone. I mean, the negative energy in the first place. Right? But have you ever felt it? I mean, that's a good question. Have you ever gotten yelled at and felt it?
Oh, yeah.
Like from someone's car, like someone's driving around. And
Oh, yeah.
I have.
It can happen. It can happen. Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that. But yeah. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
So
it can be really painful, actually, because you can feel it. It's like getting punched in the chest, depending on how strong it is, how strong they are. And I don't know that it. So back to her original question. Does the energy balance out or replace the negative? I think depending on who is, you know, if it's you, you sent it and now you're happy, I think it balances out to some degree, right? But for that person, because I know when I've gotten yelled at driving or whatever, whether I did something stupid or on purpose or whatever, I mean, I've gotten yelled at. And it sometimes takes a long time for me to get rid of that feeling because I can really feel it. Sometimes it's really strong and I'll feel it and I'll even cleanse myself. I'll disconnect the hooks or whatever. And I still, it hurts like for days sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because I'm sensitive or, but I think it happens to everybody to some degree. Or just about everybody.
So No Name is saying, I think negative energies always stay with the area like a bad memory you remember and then feel embarrassed about something you did way back in the before, even if it does not do with what is happening in the current. So it will come up randomly, even if it's just for the moment.
It could. I mean, I think energy just dissipates because if you think of, I mean, depending on the situation, again, if there's a horrific catastrophe or murders or, you know, slaughters or whatever, you know, that can leave a huge lasting imprint because of how strong that energy is. And if people are going there to pay respects, you know, then that energy kind of keeps getting, I don't know, stirred up is the right way, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I do. So,
but I think over time, if it's a one-off event that is not anything anybody knows about, it would dissipate, you know,
well, you would
a
think.
Lot.
Yeah, you would think for sure. There's so much going on in the chat room.
I know.
So they posted a picture of that doll that I was telling you about. Click on it. I'm not going to. Of course, they're all laughing at me. Click on it, Steph. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't need to see it again.
Oh, I got to see it. Yeah.
Go see all it. Right. Yeah.
It looks like it's on the, for those of you that are, oh, that's cool. It looks like it's on the Calling, their Facebook page. So if anybody is not in the chat room, you want to go find it. It's on the Calling's Facebook page and it's cool looking. So where, someone found this?
So their new co-host, Willow, she had a, years ago she had, from what I understand, is they rented the storefront property. They were going to have like a paranormal kind of, I suppose like a studio, like your studio in there, Heidi, because she does Reiki and she does it all too. And as they were cleaning it up, nobody had been in there for a very long time. They found this doll and just there's horrible energy there, right? Because nobody had been there for a long time and things started happening. You know, she took that doll, I believe, Jerry, you know, do tell if I'm wrong, but I think she said she, you know, she tried to cleanse it, salt it. She salted around her bed because she brought it home for whatever reason. And it came to her there, these evil things. And so she ended up burying it on sacred ground somewhere. But this activity in this building, and they couldn't get rid of it, was still there, and they had to leave. So she had been there for like 6 months, and they left, and nobody's been in that building since. And it's been like 5 years, and it's remained empty. And it's in a really old part of New Orleans. And you know, things the spirits were telling her, like one of them said, you know, look up or go upstairs, you know, fire. And, you know, it turned out that the beams were all charred and burned, and, very interesting. I mean, it's a very interesting story. I guess if we ever do a voodoo show, maybe she could be one of our guests. Cause I mean, she lives in New Orleans, so she deals with this all the time.
Or maybe she knows someone if she doesn't want to do it. Yeah.
But yeah, interesting story. Gross doll. I don't know even know why I looked at it, but I did. And I immediately shut it down.
I think it's cool.
So, but anyway, yeah, so who knows? And Karen saying voodoo dolls were originally used to heal, yes, but then of course the bad things happened. The bad people came and figured out how to do it and do evil by it. And I believe they can work very well, actually, you know?
Yeah, I have a handful of them, and I actually make them now too, and I sell them. And they have certain intentions that are set with it, so they're only for good. And helpful that way. So I like them and I appreciate them. I actually got my first voodoo doll when I was in New Orleans about 8 years ago, I think it was. I bought three of them and they were all different looking and they're very cool and they all had good intentions, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when I make mine, I do the same thing. I set the intention in it ahead of time or while I'm making it so that it it can be a good thing for people.
Yeah, because you have to, because, you know. And if
you don't
put
have
enough-
to. But I want to.
Well, of course. I have to. So what if somebody gets a hold of one of your dolls and then decides to do evil with it? Are they going to be able to, or do you think it's protected because you've infused that intent to be good?
I think anything's possible. I think that I have the lock on what I make and what can be done with it out there, that it's only for good? No, I'm sure someone could turn it, but I would hope that that doesn't happen. You know, I set the intention that it doesn't, but anybody can do anything they want if they really want to. So if that's their intention with it, then they also get the energy that goes with sending bad stuff out, you know? So, you know, it's on them. It's on anybody to decide what we're going to do with, you know, every day of our life. You know, if we want to put good out there, we want to put bad out there. If we want to take something good and turn it into something bad. I mean, that's each one of us, that's on us. So, and we get the
karma,
the consequences, good or bad from that, you know?
Yep. Karma can be a, you know, not nice.
Right.
Intention is everything. And that is also true. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Reading. These,
I know,
here.
There's a lot of stuff. So Rain said that, so here's the post. I got my first voodoo doll in New Orleans as well. Back in the 80s. Cool. Do you still have it? That's what I want to know. And if you do, do you have a picture of it? Because I would love to see it, because they're all so cool looking. And what's the intention? Or did it have an intention? Maybe it didn't have an intention. I would imagine some of them are just there.
Just there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then No Name is saying, I had a doll as a child that you had to put a tape in the back and the eyes and mouth would move. I don't know what that means, a tape in the back. I had to throw it away when it would randomly start moving without electric or tape.
Put a tape, like a cassette
tape? That's what I'm wondering what he's saying, because, because just a tape, I mean, a piece of tape isn't going to
do that. Well, no, I would think it was some kind of, you know, cassette tape, and then...
For sure. Oh, yeah, because it has the little wheels, you know? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm curious now, and I also need to see a picture of that, if you have it. You know, you folks on the chat room are awesome, but I need photos for
photos.
The stuff to talk about.
Bring them on. Yeah, put
give
them
me
on.
Photos for this stuff, because you guys talk about the coolest stuff or creepy stuff, and I'm like, let me see it. I want to see this crazy stuff you guys have.
Yeah, for sure. See
that we need a chat room.
Just click on there, and then you can attach pictures.
Yeah. We need that could go down a rabbit hole if we actually put photos in the chat room. We'd have horrible problems. But yeah, put a link to something we can go see it.
Yeah.
Or give us the actual name. We can Google it.
Oh, Oh, it doesn't work, Karen? Because that's how I do it. I just click on the paperclip, and then it'll say something about from your computer or whatever, and then you just click whatever the file
maybe
is.
They blocked it so people couldn't put icky stuff in there.
Maybe it's just the police.
I can only imagine what people would do.
It's possible, you know?
A cat says, I think the creepiest dolls are those little grinning chimps clanging cymbals. I have one of those. It doesn't work very well. I found it in an antique store, and it is broken down, which makes it look even worse. And I have it for the Halloween open house. And it tips over because it's not very stable because it's kind of broken a little bit. And the fur is kind of rubbing off. So it makes it look really awful. Yeah. I should take a picture of that and show it to you sometime. It's awful and awesome.
Yeah. Well, those don't bother me as much as dolls. I don't know. But yeah, they're kind of gross too.
None of them bother me. I love them.
I know it. You like those. See, I don't worry about
it. The better.
I don't worry about swimming in the water but I really hate dolls and you love all dolls.
Yep.
I hate swimming in the water. You know, everybody's
we have all of our things.
Yep. We all have our own deals. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe only hosts can attach things. That's what I'm guessing. So I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah.
Is it true that people can hide voodoo dolls in the walls of houses to start haunting ghosts? Well, I mean, Willow found that one. I don't
not necessarily a voodoo doll.
No, any kind of a doll.
Anything. Well, it doesn't have to be a doll. It could be anything.
Oh, Karen got one up there. Oh, gross.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, gross.
Did someone make it like that, or did it become that from being old? It looks like it's made to look like that. That's awesome. If you're not in the chat room, you should go in and take a look at this creepy doll. It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you, Karen. I'm so glad you put that in there.
Sherry's saying, beware of women in water. They give you swords. Really?
I don't know that. Well, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
You can go ahead and get one, Steph. That's all you.
Sure. Woman in northern Minnesota makes... Is she the one at the Paracon, Karen? Because remember that woman that made all the weird, icky dolls that sold them? She was
awesome.
Really close to the Sim booth a few years back.
I remember that.
Yeah.
There was a gal at another show, and I bought a doll that had maggots in its head.
Oh.
And it's really awesome.
Gross.
And it's part of the Halloween open house, of course. I hope we can do it this year. Oh, yeah, she said Paracon.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back to that voodoo doll comment, because that was interesting about putting a voodoo doll on the wall. Now, it doesn't have to be a voodoo doll. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. And you have to set the intention of whatever you're doing. I did a clearing. This gal from Barbados got a hold of me. I don't know how she found me. She found me. And we ended up doing a Skype session with her. And when we were talking, she was telling me about all this stuff going on in her house, and she kept finding dead animals out in front on her front step. And I asked her, Tim and I both had seen, this was years ago, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago, we had seen something buried on the side of her house. And we asked her to go out there, and she found a bundle that had been, it was some kind of bundle of, I don't know, it was a bunch of stuff, and it was wrapped in a string, and it was buried in the garden on the side of her house, like a flower garden or something. And she found it buried there, and someone had intentionally set it there. Now, whether it was for her or the previous owners, I don't know, but she was having a heck of a time when she moved in there. Anyway, so we were able to help walk her through how to take care of that. But it was just like if you would have come across it, you'd probably think it was just junk and thrown it away. Mm-hmm. You know, not thinking it was connected to anything. So it doesn't have to be anything significant or, you know, obvious. You know, it's the intention that's causing trouble. I had someone come to a meetup once, and she found something under her bed that she thought, you know, it was put there by an ex who came into the house at one point, said he needed to do something. I don't know what he was doing anyway. And then later she found this bundle of like photos and or something wrapped up, and it was under, maybe it was under the mattress.
Oh.
And she was having terrible back pain and all these things happened. It was bad. Yeah. And then she found it, and so she got rid of it. She told us the story after the fact, and she said that everything was better after that.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, it can be done. All this stuff can be done, you know? Yeah. If you know how to do that kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, we've had our shows with Kristen Barton, who talks about this, these kinds of things, and mm-hmm. they're called workings, right? So we have to really, you know, be cognizant of that. Sherry's saying she heard a story of a Native American woman who had a skinwalker set after her. Is that what you're saying, Sherry? Oh, my.
Why would someone have a skinwalker sent after? I wonder if she, what if she did something, or why, you know, she made someone upset. I'm curious to know more about that.
Yeah. I don't know. Bundle of stuff, including a drawing of her in jail. Yeah, that skinwalker. Yeah. I don't I don't know. Crazy.
That's creepy.
It is. Someone said it after her.
The things someone could do to you if you make them upset.
That's magic, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all things are possible. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah, it's kind of spooky, actually, to think about it all. That's, yeah, wow. I wouldn't want one of those after me, let me tell you.
No, mm-hmm. not if it was coming for me.
No.
I mean, if I'm investigating and there's one around, I'm probably okay.
Yeah, because you're looking for it, but we just don't want one to show up at our houses looking for us or, you know, finding us in the woods somewhere. You know, that would not be good.
Your flip-flops running around.
My flip-flops running.
Stuck in quicksand, and there comes your skinwalker. Here it comes, stuck in the quicksand, and you're dead.
Like that. You know, Kat's saying people used to hide all sorts of things in walls, mostly for the idea of protecting the place, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's true. We have a friend who used to have a house really close to us, actually, and when they were doing some remodeling, they found, like, old pictures in the walls, you know, of whoever built the house way back. I mean, it was an old house. And they also had somebody randomly stop in who said that their aunt, auntie, somebody lived there back in the day and she was buried in the basement. Like and if you go down in that basement, because they called us and said, you got to come over here. And so we went there after the story happened and there's actually a part of the basement wall that's breached and looks like it's been recovered. And who knows if Aunt Edna's down there or not, but... Oh. Anne Helen. Yeah, right. Anne Helen.
I wonder if you could take a FLIR camera or something. Or if there's some other kind of camera that could see
through it.
FLIR may not work, but I don't know what could work.
Well, it's a very...
Without breaking down the wall.
Yeah, that house is really paranormally active. So whether it's Anne Helen or there were some other things that happened in there, you know, even after Linda lived there, who was the owner that we knew. But yeah, crazy, crazy business. And there was a casket in the wall is what Jerry's saying. I couldn't remember the whole story. And they say it's still there. And like I said, there's this area in the basement and it's not a finished basement. So you can see all the old fashioned blocks. Remember, they look different than the ones that we have now. And then there was a section that was probably big enough to put a casket in that was breached and new cement all over it. Well, not new, you know, I mean, it's old, but it's not the same stuff. So
how long ago did this happen?
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing these people lived there a long, long time ago. I mean, we just did this probably 8 years ago. There's new people in there now. Linda passed away. So someone else is living there. It'd be interesting to know if they ever have any activity over there. But I mean, that's what they were told. And then oddly enough, there's this little section in the wall that looks like, you know, something's back there. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, why would you bury somebody in a basement wall? I mean, that's kind of weird. But you know what's interesting about that is we were eating at this Italian restaurant down in Faribault one time with Kim and her husband. And they told us we could see something kind of there moving around. It was quite active there too. Who knew, you know? And they said, oh yeah, that's grandma, somebody, whatever the last name is. She's still here. She's buried in the basement. I'm like, she's buried in the basement. Why? I just don't understand.
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant. And I can't remember the name of that place either.
It's got to have like 1,000 health code violations.
It's closed now. I know.
Well,
I
thank
know.
God there's a body in the basement.
Well, that's what the rumor is.
Rotten away in a place that they're making food. Good choice.
That's the rumor. Who knows if it's true? And maybe it's cemented in like this. And Edna or Anne Helen or whatever. Yeah, the Faribault Pizza Place. Do you remember the name of it? Because I don't. It's been a few years since we were there, and they've actually just shut down like about a year ago, I think. But they'd been there for many years. They had excellent pizza. Excellent pizza. Oh.
But it's closed now.
Is there an investigation, Jerry? And can I go? An ongoing investigation. Okay. Cool. I love it. But anyway, yeah, so we do, I mean, we do hear our share of weird stuff, like people being buried in basement walls, you know? And what's interesting is, you know, we just go in there and we didn't even know because we could see. Both Kim and I and Jerry, all three of us, were like watching this ghost kind of walk around, the spirit. And then we said something and, oh, yeah, grandma, whatever, is buried in the basement. And we're like, what? So crazy things for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I know a couple of folks in the chat room have said, you know, people were buried in churches.
Right.
Which, yes, I know that they have, you know, sealed crypts or whatever that they would bury them in. But I don't know if burying someone in the wall in a casket in the basement qualifies as being, you know, contained.
Or a house. I mean.
Yeah, I don't. There's a difference. Let me just say it's a difference. And you're in a church makes sense. In a house in the basement seems shady. Yeah, there seems like there's some fraud or something happening at this point. You know, well, now you get to keep the property because the person is, they went to North Dakota or whatever, you know, it's like, and they're in the basement. Yeah.
Or maybe Anne Helen just loved it there and said, you must bury me here. And of course they couldn't bury her in the yard. So they buried her in the walls of the basement. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Well, actually, so Jerry's saying in the 1930s, it was really common to do that. Really?
In the house?
Really? I guess I didn't know that.
Really? In the house. I know out back in the family plot or whatever. But in the house?
Oh, gosh. Sherry's saying an old Fort Erie fallen soldier bones were ground up to make wall mortar for restoration. Oh, seriously?
I don't think so. Really?
Oh. Well, okay. You're snowed in. Your dad dies. You have to bury the body, but the outside ground is frozen.
Happened to my great-grandma. I was probably 22 when she died, and she wanted to be buried in southern Minnesota, and the ground was frozen. They didn't have the stuff to dig it, so we waited, kept her in cold storage until spring.
Yeah.
But then we put her in the ground.
Well,
hanging out with her.
Well, I don't know. That's just kind of all craziness, but soldier bones were ground up. Well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we've heard up at Agua Ching, up where the tuberculosis sanatorium used to be up in Walker, you know, there's a lot of activity up there. And it, of course, it was torn down years ago, but the land is still there, of course, and it's not built. It's just empty. And they say, of course, there's a lot of people buried there that nobody knows about, right? Because they just put them in the ground and didn't mark their graves, you know? But that's not in a building, though. But still. Barn bodies a lot. Oh,
well. We are getting off on a tangent, and we're at the end of the show. So we got to wrap it up quick. Right.
So here we go. So end of show. Everybody listen to the calling tomorrow. I'm not sure what Jerry and Willow and Kimmy are going to talk about, but I'm sure it'll be fascinating. I'm sure it'll be awesome sauce. Thank you for listening. And if the troops are listening, thank you for your service, and I hope you enjoyed the show.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Everybody in the chat room with your awesome comments. We love it. Always love it. So thank you for being here with us. Thank you to Para-X for hosting us and our most awesome producer, whose birthday was last week, actually. Thank you to Sarge, and happy belated. And we are so excited to be here. And next week, I think we're going to be talking about curses, hexes, and tune in next week.
Yep, for sure. Good night, everyone. Have a great week.
Stay safe, everyone.